It's the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. We've got Brian Batko, and with the bye week, we wanted to go over our grades here at the Post-Gazette of how the Steelers have performed position by position and the coaches throughout this season. Jerry Dulac gave his grades on post-gazette.com. Now you hear our reaction to those grades, our own grades, as well as your Acrisure fan advantage burning question of the week. It's Chris Carter, Brian Batko, coming to you on the North Shore Drive podcast. Let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko. We're both of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can find all our written content at post-gazette.com. You can find all of our podcast content either by searching Post-Gazette Sports on your favorite podcasting platform or the North Shore Drive Podcast, as well as finding us on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from here, as well as our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday episodes, as well as our Saturday editions of the Acrisure Fan Advantage. But today's episode of the North Shore Drive Podcast is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Make sure you check him out on the North Shore, because Mike's Beer Bar is right across the street from PNC Park and a great place to go to if you're coming into the North Shore to see a Steelers game, a Pitt game, or just checking out that great part of the city. Mike's Beer Bar has over 20 TVs where you can check out all the NFL, college football, Penguins, MLB, Riverhounds, Premier League action, NBA action, whatever you want to see, you can watch at Mike's. And they have over 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, and 80 of those beers being available on tap at any time. Check, we'll have more on Mike's later. But Brian, it's the bye week, so we get to take a little bit more of a global approach, not as much of the day-to-day news with this one. We're going to take a step back, and our good friend, Jerry Dulac, he released his grades Friday morning, and in doing so, he graded the Steelers through the bye week. Yes, the Steelers are in first place. Yes, the Steelers are leading the AFC North going into the bye, and they have a winning record at 3-2 and looking better than they did this time last year. But that did not save them from Jerry being honest about their struggles. We're going to break things down here, but where do you feel, before we get into the grades, where do you feel the Steelers are as a whole right now? Despite, you know, their record says who they are and their place says who they are. But do you feel like this team still has a long way to go, or is actually closer to being the team that they need to be this season than we've seen?
This 3-2 start to me feels like the wacky cousin of the 11-0 start in 2020. You know, they're similar in some ways, but, you know, obviously, they're not even close to being undefeated like that team was. But the reason I say this and make this parallel is because they remind me of each other in that the record's the record. You know, you are what your record says you are, right? At least that's a cliche in sports. But I think we can all agree that the way they've gotten to 3-2 has not been pretty. The Ravens win was more of a Ravens loss than the Steelers playing a great 60 minutes of football. And the Browns game, you know, if you could ever back into a victory, that's what they did on that Monday night at Acrisure Stadium. So what gives me some pause and why I'm probably going to be in agreement with a lot of Jerry's grades here for the AFC North leading Pittsburgh Steelers is that despite getting victories in some of these games, and again, being above 500 and having won more than you lost, I don't feel encouraged or optimistic from a lot of what I've seen. I don't think these are real problems being solved in these wins, and I don't think they're coming up with a lot of solutions in these wins. And in fact, I think some of the randomness that has contributed to it is going to end up leading to some regression for this team, much like we saw in 2020 when they went, 1-4 down the stretch and got run out on a rail by the Browns. So that's kind of my overall take to really give you a sunny disposition here on this Friday.
Well, let's get into a few things here. Let's get into the grade position by position so we can get to some specifics. But here's Kenny Pickett at quarterback. He's been the only quarterback to play so far. And, oh, that's not true. Mitch Trubisky did play some in the Texans game. But still, D-plus grade from Jerry Dulac on Kenny Pickett. I think a D-plus is very reasonable for
D-plus as Pickett. A grade in and of itself is very funny to me. Like, the idea of get anybody having a D-plus in school or – anywhere, it's like, hey, you got a D, but you got a D plus. I don't think F plus is a thing, right?
In my school, it's like I saw that on TV. But whenever I was in school, if you just got an F, you got an F. Like you fail. There's no pluses about it. It's just you messed up. Thank goodness I didn't get too many Fs. I got two Cs one time. My mom wouldn't let me have it. But with a D plus, I feel like that's reasonable for Kenny Pickett right now because he has been below average, and that's what a D usually means, you know. And he's had good moments. He's had some strong finishes, like the finish he had against the Ravens on Sunday, and he deserves credit for that. But at the same time, he hasn't been the complete quarterback that the Steelers needed him to be, and we've seen that because he's thrown interceptions. He hasn't had a complete game yet. He has one game with multiple touchdowns in his career so far, and just sticking to this season when they've lost big. He's been a big part of the problem.
Yeah, I think I can't really find too many reasons to disagree with Jerry here. I play around in my head of the idea of him having a C. I don't think he's been an average QB. Maybe I'd get, you know, certainly wouldn't give him an F. Again, they have three wins and he's been the QB. But the fact that his play is what it's been and statistically not very good. I think D is fair. And I throw in that plus for the George Pickens touchdown pass, doing everything right on that play to end up beating the Ravens.
Moving on to running back, he gives them just a straight up D grade. And that's interesting to me now. He kind of brings up how, you know, Najee Harris battling with an undrafted free agent for carries is not the great thing that you want for a first round pick. And I'll say Jaylen Warren, you know, I'm not sure if I'd mark Najee Harris anything poorly if Jaylen Warren is just playing very well and pushing him for stuff. I will say, like, Najee Harris, for all the things that people criticize him for, he does have 14 missed tackles right now in the NFL.
His explosive run rate is probably still pretty good too. I mean, I haven't looked at the analytics since the Ravens game, but I know after 4 weeks, he was up there in a lot of those efficiency stats that he's normally not anywhere near the top of the league.
He has six runs of 15 yards or more that is tied for second behind Devon Achain, who just continues to just break off long run after long run for the Miami Dolphins. Yes. That speedster of a guy. And so he's found ways to succeed. I feel like this might be a little harsh. I might give, you know, the running backs a C or C plus even, because I feel like Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, they haven't been bad for the Steelers. They just haven't been given much of a chance to do a whole lot. And when they've been given some chances, they've made some plays. Najee Harris, I thought has come up big in some tough moments for the Steelers. Jaylen Warren was a huge part. I think without him, they don't beat the Ravens. He made some big plays there. I think that they've done a sustainable job at the position. They're not taking over games, but I think they're taking what's there when the offensive line gives them. And they've even created a lot of those 15 plus yard runs. They're not because that there was great blocking. Najee Harris just like would throw off three dudes and then just take off and get big yards. I feel like that's the one place where I'm like, maybe a little bit less harsh on those guys.
I agree. I think I'd probably go C for the running backs. Maybe C like minus because there's been some blitz pickup issues at times. But I'm with you there. I think I'm a little higher on their work so far than Jerry.
Now, Jerry also has the wide receivers at a C minus, and this is a little tough for me because Deontay Johnson's been out for most of the season. George Pickens, he's had some really great moments. I think he was kind of down against the Texans and against the Raiders a little bit in how he performed. He stepped up huge in the Raiders game, not the Raiders, excuse me, the Browns game, and he stepped up huge in the Ravens game. So the two divisional games they've won, he's been vital and he's been great. And I think his game against the Ravens, that might've been one of his best games of his career when you include the big catch and all the blocking that he had in place. Yeah. But I will say Allen Robinson, when you look at Allen Robinson, You know, he makes some plays here and there in the passing game. That guy does not block at all. Like you just see him, he just whiffs on block. You can see he just doesn't will. And a lot of times when he's throwing a block, it's where like Juju Smith-Schuster used to throw a key block that helped solidify a big run or a solid gain on a first or a second down. So I get the C-minus grade for the receivers because as a whole, I think you could grade Pickens positively. You can grade Austin positively, you can grade at Robinson negatively, and you can definitely grade Gunnar Olszewski negatively, and Deontay Johnson doesn't factor in. So a C minus, I kind of get.
Yeah. If anything, I'd maybe go a little bit higher. Everything you said about Allen Robinson's blocking, probably true, but he's also been a reliable target. He's made some significant catches, which to me is what they brought him in to do from the Rams. So I'm probably with you there, Chris, that I'd go a tick higher maybe than C minus for those guys.
Now tight end, they get a straight up F, and I feel like that's a little much. I feel like Pat Freiermuth, yes, he only has 53 yards in the season. That's not what you want, but I feel like that's also on Kenny Pickett not getting him the ball enough because he's been open at times. Now I will say Pat Freiermuth's blocking gets an F because
makes Allen Robinson look like Anthony Munoz.
Yeah, because it's pretty doggone bad. But I mean Darnell Washington. He's not being thrown to, like he's getting, like I'm looking at these games. There's times he's just standing open in the middle part of the field. And that guy is quietly soldiering on because I never see Darnell Washington be just like put his head down and be like, man, can they give me a target? He just goes back out there, runs his route. And the thing that he does really well is he blocks. When he gets his hands on you, he is a problem. And I think Connor Hayward's also done a pretty good job at that. I would give those guys a C. I think I'd give those guys a C as well because they haven't had a chance to do as much this year. But when they've been in there, especially in the blocking outside of Freiermuth, I think they've been solid. So it's been a mixed bag. So I'll give them an average C grade there.
Yeah, I'll go C minus. They haven't made a lot of impactful plays, but I liked what I saw out of Connor Hayward in a game against the Ravens where they needed him to step up and run some of those underneath patterns and get open. He did that for the most part. He showed himself to be useful in that regard, and we'll see what Pat Freiermuth can do when he comes back. Seems like that might be against the Rams, but you know his season's not off to a real prolific start other than the touchdown grabs.
Our last offensive grade from Jerry Dulac is the offensive line, which he gives a D. I feel like that's fair because the offensive line, they've struggled in protection. They've struggled in creating space in the run game, but they've had good moments. They haven't completely fallen apart. And I think that there's some times where they do enough that a Kenny Pickett should do a play. So I think D is a fair one, maybe a D plus, but I'm right on with Jerry with this. I think the offensive line, they've been below average to start and they need to be better. I think we saw signs of them getting better in the second half against the Ravens, but that has to keep moving forward. That cannot be another performance, coming out of the bye where they take another step backwards before they take another step forward.
Yeah, it's also hard not to grade on a curve a little bit with this group because of the expectations coming in.
Very true.
They finished last season. They raised the bar for themselves a little bit, and then you add in Isaac Seumalo, and I think we all could agree we thought they would get off to a better start in 2023 than they have. So, yes, I think Jerry hit that one right on with the O-line. They've got to be better.
We're going to aggress Jerry's defensive grades in a little bit here, but first
we're grading the grades.
We're grading the grades. There you go. But we also want to talk to you guys about your AccraSure Fan Advantage burning question. That'll be on the other side of this first break here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Before we get into any of that, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Just go check them out on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park in the North Shore. When you get there, you'll see that they have over 20 televisions. Did you know that you could call in advance, reserve a table with a television, have them specify it to any game you want? And I mean any game you want. There was a group of about 15 people. They got a whole TV dedicated to Duquesne versus West Virginia earlier this year. That's how serious Mike's Beer Bar takes your sports viewing pleasure. They want to make sure that you get whatever game you want. They have all the different streaming services. They have every game. They've made sure to continue to have every game so that whether you're checking out a big college football Saturday or you want to check out your favorite pro football game on Sunday, or you want to check out the Penguins on an away night because you can't get the PPG paints because they're not there that weekend. That's where Mike's Beer Bar comes in place. And while you there. You could try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, and 80 of those local beers being available on tap. And trust me, you'll never run out of options because they're always rotating in new taps every single week from different local breweries in Pittsburgh so that you can have all the best options available to you in one place. And they have their amazing steak on a stone meal, which is your choice cut of steak brought out to you on a heated stone, where every time you cut a piece off, you press it into that heated stone and you get to choose how well you want your steak done with every single bite. It's an amazing meal option and an amazing bar option here in the city of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Get your sports fix and experience the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're also brought to you by the Great Yinzer Tailgate, bringing the best of Pittsburgh to South Point on November 4th, showcasing Pittsburgh's rich culture, iconic sports history, and vibrant community spirit. The Great Yinzer Tailgate will immerse you in the unique blend of traditions that make Pittsburgh legendary. Visit www.thegreatyinzertailgate.com for details. See Yinz there. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I'm Chris Carter. He's Brian Batko. It's time for the Acrisure Fan Advantage Burning Question. Every single week, you, the fans, can submit your burning questions to our Steelers insider right here, Brian Batko, for an in-depth conversation with the opponent's experts each week. That's brought to you by the Acrisure Fan Advantage. And then with each expert we talk to on the Steelers opponents. But this weekend, we're going to have a big mailbag episode. So this is just one of many questions that we'll address. We have a Saturday episode that comes out this weekend where we answer all of your bye week questions. Get those into us.
When someone sticks a little piece of paper in between your mailbox and your flag, and you grab that first for the next episode, we're going to just open that whole lid.
Exactly. And then you could do that at acrisure.com/fanadvantage for more information. Submit your questions today. But Brian, let's get into today's question. And today's question comes from Sean, who asks, why won't the Steelers let Kenny Pickett drop back and throw from under center? Is it a comfort thing? They seem to run from under center and throw from the shotgun all the time. Now, this is a criticism brought to you by, made popular by Warren Sharp, one of the top NFL analytics guys out there. And he brought this up and he's like, you know, it's a very high percentage of when the Steelers are in shotgun, you know, they're throwing. When they're under center, you know, they're running. And I get that. I understand the question here as far as, you know, trying to mix things up and not telegraph what you're doing in different situations. But I do wonder, Brian, if that is a comfort thing for Kenny Pickett. He's not like Ben Roethlisberger, where he's overly tall and he can, you know, he could peek over. He's 6'3", which is decent quarterback height. But do you see this as a major problem for what the Steelers have tried to do on offense that maybe defenses are using as a tell?
Not really. I mean, it was a short yardage situation early in that Ravens game. I think it was 3rd and 1. They line up in shotgun. They run Najee Harris, and they didn't get it. And the smattering of feedback I saw on my X timeline, let's be honest, my Twitter timeline, there people hated that call. So, I mean, it's really just a microcosm of when you're an offensive coordinator, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. All that matters really is if the play works. If it works, great call. If it doesn't, stupid call. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, but you know, there's tendencies. There's also just what you think you're good at and what works. And for Pickett, we know at Pitt, it was a lot of shotgun passing. And really, I don't think a ton of teams even, you know, do drop back from under center a lot these days. You know, that's where your play action comes in. We know that a lot of the modern quarterbacks like being in shotgun, reading the entire field, you know, pre-snap, once the ball is snapped. So I think you always want to be unpredictable, but again, you also don't want to get outside of what you're good at and what you're comfortable at. So that's always the balance that you have to walk. I remember it in Canada's first season as the OC. It was a lot of, hey, what does Ben want to do? We're going to do whatever Ben thinks is best. He's been here 18 years. I'm in my first year. Doesn't even really matter what I think's good. We've got to follow the lead of our QB. So I think it's similar now with Pickett. You put in the game plan every week. You figure out what he likes to do, what he doesn't. I think a bigger issue than this is all of the rollout and sprint out left where he's thrown across his body. You're shrinking the field. You're giving him less to read, but you're getting so jammed up along the sideline and your receivers are jumbled. I think the Steelers need to start doing a little bit less of that, but maybe that's a question for Pickett and or Canada when we reconvene next week on the South side.
Maybe that is. I think that part of the shrinking the field, that's something that the Niners do a lot for Brock Purdy, and they do it to try to simplify some of his decisions. And Brock Purdy's proven to be a pretty good decision maker so far for the 49ers. But sometimes that's part, you know, people look at that as a negative, as shrinking the field. I think that's something that you try to do sometimes, not less of shrinking the field, but more like shrinking down how many options they have to read on a play and design, hey, we're looking for read one, read two, or get rid of it or run.
And you're making sure you funnel the ball to where you want it to go. I mean, we know that was a big emphasis for the Steelers last year around this time when they traded Chase Claypool. I think a big part of that was let's streamline the targets to our top three guys, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth. Yes, you're taking away a talented weapon for Kenny Pickett, but you're also simplifying it for him in a sense of, hey, right now you feel like you've got this many mouths to feed. Well, now you've got one fewer mouth to feed. Let's make the right decisions, make the right throws. Clearly, they were a lot better offensively after dealing away Claypool. That wasn't the only factor, but I would say that was at least part of it last season.
No, I agree. That was definitely part of it. I think it's just right now, it's a lot like what you said about the offensive coordinator position and the staff. I'm not here to defend Matt Canada. I give my opinions on him all the time. I think that he often gets blamed for things that aren't necessarily as big of a fault as people think that are his. It comes down to what your point is. And he says this all the time himself. Like, look, if the play doesn't work, it's on me. If the play does work, it's on the players. That's how it always will be. If the Steelers mess up, it's the coaches and it's the terrible play call. Even when if one guy makes this very reasonable block in the situation that they set up for him, then it would have worked. And then but it's like, man, how did he make that play call when it was there to be won? Even the 4th-and-1 play that everyone gets mad about in the Texans game where they tried to throw the ball in that situation. Everyone's like, why are you trying to throw the ball? There were three different receivers open and a running lane. And if Kenny Pickett takes any of those four options, the Steelers move the ball, and they might, if they score on that drive, they put themselves right back in the game. They would have been down 3 points. So it's I think there's a lot of things that go into this, but to answer Sean's question, I think part of it is a comfort thing to help Kenny Pickett. I don't think it's as bad of a thing for the Steelers offense as long as they execute what is there. And I think that is the biggest problem with the Steelers offense. Complain about Matt Canada's calls all you want. And there's some that I complain about. I think like, man, I don't like this one. I don't like that one, but there are opportunities to be won here and not in unreasonable spots, just open guys over the middle that Kenny Pickett doesn't take often enough and the offensive line doesn't block well enough. And that's why Jerry Dulac gave the quarterback a D+, and that's why he gave the offensive line a D. I think those are some of the biggest things holding this group back. That was Sean's question on the AccraShirt Fan Advantage. We'll have more questions from the AccraShirt Fan Advantage on our Saturday episode, but we got to get back to our defensive grades through the bye week here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm Chris Carter. He's Brian Batko. Stick with us. We'll get right to that. But first, we'll remind you that this show is also brought to you by Savinus Cain and Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Cain and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. If you ever had to buy tickets for an event but weren't comfortable with how much you were paying because you weren't sure about how good the seats were, that's where GameTime comes in, because you can check up where those tickets are, see the beauty from your seat anytime, even if you're buying the tickets up to the last minute or even in up to an hour after the event has started. And when you're looking at the prices on Game Time, you're going to see the actual prices. They're not going to show you the hidden fees. They're going to show you all the prices up front, and it takes two taps of a button. You have your seat, you have your tickets, and you're ready to go. Game Time has the best price guarantee that can't be beat. If you find tickets for the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code BITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase. Go to the website, gametime.co. Turn to exist supply, create an account, and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batka. We're brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Let's get back to these grades here. I almost called you Jerry. Let's get back to these grades here, Brian.
I mean, we are definitely leaning heavily on Jerry for today's show. So thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry, for giving us your grades, which you can again find at post-gazette.com to read all of his grades and his reasoning behind them. Jerry gave the defensive line a D grade, and I feel like I have a mixed feelings there, because I think that the defensive line has been bad in some of their losses, but I think they've also been good in their wins. And I think that they've really, I think that they really helped. I think they were huge in getting back in the game against the Ravens. They kept things in check, or, you know, especially Larry Ogunjobi, the forced fumble that he had in that game. I thought he was actually also good against the run. Keanu Benton's been really good. But at the same time, Montrevious Adams, I don't feel like has been very good. I think Isaiah Loudermilk hasn't been very good. Armin Watts has been up and down, but he's also been used sparingly. So I guess I'd go with a D plus, maybe a C minus for the group. What say you on the defensive line, Brian?
I think I'm okay with a D. You know, the run game struggles have definitely hurt this team a lot over these first five games, and has not been a lot of splash from that unit. Part of that obviously is losing Cam Hayward in the first half of the first game, but you know, I'm not going to really give them a higher grade because to me, I still need to evaluate the guys who are out there. And I think the guys who are out there just haven't been making much of a difference. You know, credit to Larry Ogunjobi for the forced fumble in this past game, the Keanu Benton sack against the Raiders. I mean, that's probably the two best plays that this group has made. But I think of guys like DeMarvin Leal, who, yes, he's been banged up, but hasn't done a lot. Isaiah Loudermilk hasn't done a lot. It's leaving you wanting there with this D-line. I thought they had more depth and ability to step up in the absence of Hayward, but also knew it was going to be a big problem when he went down. So I think I'm good with a D grade. I certainly no lower than that. But they need to start bowing up against the run a little bit more because teams are going to continue to try to take advantage of that.
Now, the one group that Jerry has, I think there's no group above a C+. Except the outside linebackers who have an A+. And I feel like you could do like in the dream sequence from Christmas Story when the teacher keeps going plus, 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 because the edge rushers have dominated. Without them, they're winless this season. TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith have wrecked games for the Steelers. And listen, the Texans found a way to neutralize them. The Ravens were not able to replicate that in that game. TJ Watt is leading the NFL in sacks, pressures, tackles for losses, all sorts of numbers. And Alex Highsmith is one of the best guys out there. He's also great against the run. Saw a play where they set a wham block from a fullback and a pulling guard right at Alex Highsmith. He stymied the fullback, stymied the guard, reached past them, and brought down Gus Edwards in the hole for a tackle to stop any gain there. And I'm like, my goodness, that guy is ridiculous. And I think it's rightful. TJ Watt, he should be the leading candidate for Defensive Player of the Year right now in the NFL. But Alex Highsmith, he needs to be right up there as far as being considered in the All-Pro conversation because he's been phenomenal for the Steelers. So I totally get an A-plus grade here.
And Marcus Golden has been so good that they haven't even really needed to use Luke Herbig. He's been a huge upgrade as the number three pass rusher. I don't know that a lot of people were talking enough about Golden's work in that role. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. This group, you can't say enough about them. They are the class pet. They're the teacher's favorite here for good reason. And the only other point I'll make is like when things are – Twitter's a cesspool during Steelers games. It's one of the worst places – to be when you're trying to watch this. And one thing I always see if I do happen to mistakenly scroll through the timeline a bit, when things are going poorly, you immediately see a bunch of people like, this overpaid defense, what are they doing? I'm like, overpaid in what? Like, they're properly paid. Like, look at what the big money guys are producing for you in TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith. Like, thank goodness you paid those guys what you did. So, the defense has issues, but the compensation for their highest paid players ain't one of them.
I feel you on that. Let's move along here. Inside linebackers who were given a C, and I feel like that's fair because there's been some times where I'm like, man, like Cole Holcomb against the Raiders, I thought was so important to that game. I thought he looked like he was in place. He was doing the right things. And then against the Browns for Cole Holcomb. But against the Texans, I thought he looked like clueless. He was making mistake after mistake. But then you go to the Ravens game, and all three of them, Cole Holcomb, I thought Quan Alexander had his game of the season. I think that he set up a tight tone that maybe he should be starting at your top inside linebacker for the rest of the way, at least right now. Landon Roberts has been really solid. I feel like the C is fair because they have not been good in helping in their blowout losses, but in their wins, the inside linebackers have been there. I might upgrade it to C plus, but I feel like they are trending in a positive direction, and this could be a higher grade as the season continues.
Yeah, I was going to say C plus as well. They've been inconsistent. There's no doubt about that, but they, I think, are doing their jobs better than last year's unit, and they're providing a little bit more of that playmaking ability that was just devoid of the Devin Bush, Miles Jack, Bob Spillane trio. So yeah, I credit this overhaul has actually gone a little bit better, probably even than I expected. You know, early returns weren't great. Maybe it's just schematically what the Niners and the Texans do really makes it tough on inside backers. I mean, the good offenses do make it difficult to play that position in the NFL in 2023. But second half of that Ravens game, yeah, Chris, Holcomb and Quan Alexander were just all over the field. So I'll go C plus with an arrow pointing up.
Secondary also gets a C here. I feel like that's a fine grade because, man, they've had some downer moments. Patrick Peterson has been cooked. Levi Wallace has been cooked. They've also haven't tackled well. But then they've also, you know, without the secondary, without their interceptions, they don't beat the Raiders. They were big in that. Joey Porter Jr. stepping in with his interception against the Ravens. They don't win that game without that interception. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I disagree with how they've been deployed. I think there should be more Joey Porter Jr. lining up on the outside. I think we've seen enough of a sample size that he should be the starter moving forward. I know the coaches wouldn't commit to that when we talked to them leading into the bye week. I feel like that's a big thing there. And I also just don't agree with how Minkah Fitzpatrick's being used. I think that they're trying to use him to move him all around to cover up a lot of different weak spots in the secondary, but that's preventing him from being the center fielding safety that I think we've all seen him be and being the best safety in football, you know, when he's doing that job. And I think that's kind of held this group back. So I think that a C is fair here because they've gotten torched, but they've also been positive factors in their biggest wins.
I'm actually going to go C minus on this one because I just can't overlook all the drops by the Ravens and how much worse you're probably feeling about the Steelers secondary if Nelson Agholor doesn't go Nelson Agholor or if Zay Flowers doesn't fall down. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit right now, the outcomes look better than the actual product. So C minus for me, but obviously again, Jerry and I are, we're in the same ballpark here as you are, too, Chris.
Special teams get a B plus, particularly because Chris Boswell has not missed a kick yet. He's 10 for 10 on field goals, 5 for 5 on extra points. 3 of those kicks have been 50 yards or longer. He's performing better than Justin Tucker right now, which is crazy to say because Justin Tucker is amazing. Presley Harvin also, before he's missed the last two games, had flipped his season around after Mike Tomlin challenged him, and he's been pretty solid. Miles Killebrew blocked the punt. And, you know, outside of, I'd say, Gunnar Olszewski botching a kick return against the Browns and then fumbling away a punt return against the Ravens, I think that this would be a group that gets an A as far as a grade. But by and large, still, special teams have been a major plus for the Steelers. That's why I think a B-plus grade is warranted.
I was actually going to give them an A-minus and say, yeah, the only reason I wouldn't give them an A is because of the Gunnar issue, which is very, you know, it's player specific, but it's also, you know, a coaching decision to put him in that spot. So yeah, I'll go A minus, and otherwise I'd have them with an A because of the Miles Killebrew block, punting, and also the kicking by Boswell. And then, you know, Brad Wing was like a substitute student. So I'm not too worried about his up and down effort against the Ravens.
I'm right with you here. Now for the final grade here, it's not special teams, it's not defense, it's not offense, it's coaching. And Jerry gives a D, which I kind of agree with right now, Brian. I think that they've been able to win. I think that there's been some game plans that have been solidly put in there, but in their two big losses where they've been destroyed, they've been out-schemed, granted by similar systems, but I think, again, that goes back to their preparation for this group. Right, exactly. That's not a good thing because that shows that they have not been able to beat that system, and if teams replicate that, what Kyle Shanahan did and what DeMeco Ryans did, this team's going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, I do give them some credit for being able to hold in against these divisional opponents. They were ready for the Browns. They were ready for the Ravens. And yes, there were mistakes in both of those games, but so did the Browns and the Ravens also made their mistakes, and it came down to who capitalized on them more. The Steelers did in both of those situations. But I feel like a D is fair because this team has not come out with the fire that it looked like it was going to out of the preseason, that, with the offense that it was supposed to have more success there. They've, to the offensive line has taken a step back. The defense isn't stuffing the run the way that you hoped. So across the board, this team is 3-2. Yes, it's in first place, but they have so many things to clean up. And listen, I think that the Steelers last year showed that their coaching oftentimes kicks in later in the season when they get more time to work with guys, especially with guys that are still gelling together and figuring things out. I think that that's something that we've seen with a younger team. You know, 2020, that was an older team. Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, a lot of those guys were older on the offense. That was part of what faded late in the season was that and some of the injuries that they had with Bud Dupree, Devin Bush, and all the guys that they were missing at that part of the year. But This team, like you saw last year, they coalesced in the second half of the season. I think that there's a chance for this team to do it again, and then we will revisit the grade for the coaches later in the part of the season if that happens. But as of right now, I feel like a D grade from Jerry is very fair.
I'm actually going to go a little higher because of all the injuries they've had to deal with.
This is true.
I think that can't be overlooked. I'm going to go C minus for the coaching because just to go back to our first segment, despite them being 3-2, I don't know that that's really an accurate reflection of how well this team played so far or how well they will play going forward. So I'll go C minus for the coaches here.
Absolutely. Those were Jerry Dulac's grades, which you can find at post-gazette.com. Read all through his thoughts and why he gave his grades out here. But I those were
most of his grades like an A or an A minus for the most
yeah,
part.
Yeah, I'd give Jerry an A here on his grades and accuracy of depicting how the Steelers have been. But again, find that at post-gazette.com. He's Brian Batko from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm Chris Carter. Don't worry. We'll be back on your screens and in your ears tomorrow with our mailbag episode. During the bye week, instead of talking to an opponent expert, you're going to get to talk to us because you're submitting the questions. Go to Acrisure Fan Advantage. Excuse me. Let me get this email address quick. Acrisure.com/fan advantage for more information and to submit your questions today, or just hit us up on Twitter/X, whatever you call that app these days. Brian, thanks for joining me. And thank you all for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter and Brian Batko back on your screens tomorrow, taking your questions here from the Acrisure Fan Advantage. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.